Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo.
Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I have a special guest on the episode with me, Phil, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, mental health, and much, much more. So welcome to the show, Phil.
Thank you for having me, Johnny. I'm really excited to be here, really excited to talk about my passion, which is men's mental health, ready to share some perspectives and experiences, and you know, just really excited all overall to kind of get into it. So thank you so much for having me with you today.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah, I'm excited to dive in as well. So first of all, what got you into this whole area of men's mental health awareness, and perhaps what are a few highlights of your story?
So, you know, my story started at a young age. I'm 32 myself at the moment. When I was around 12 years old, I started experiencing challenges with anxiety and depression and eventually suicidal thought. This kind of continued for many years until my late 20s. When I was about 27, 28 was when I started to first kind of dive into my own healing and my own self-care and, you know, just learning about mental health and trying to get better and create peace of mind in my own life. So as I started to kind of dig into that, and I realized, you know, there was just such a interesting pull from this knowledge for me. So that was kind of what led to eventually wanting to create mental health education, you know, sharing my experiences with other people on various points of their mental health journey as well. And overall, just kind of creating this passion for wanting to make a difference in the world, knowing how many years I had struggled, knowing kind of the journey of where I was then and how I got to where I am today. And, you know, just wanting to be able to help other people create that same kind of healing in their life. And as I went along that path, I started to realize in more recent time that there's a lot of stigma and a lot of taboos still attached to men's mental health in particular. And so being a man myself and kind of having experienced many of these taboos throughout my life, I figured, you know, why not take that as an opportunity to be a lighthouse for the subject and to, you know, create meaningful positive change in whatever way I could, share love in whatever way I could. And, you know, kind of men's mental health is where that happens to be for me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing what got you into this and where you are now. So with the one thing you sort of like talked about then was like the taboo and all that with men's mental health. Did you find it like a challenge to open up in your own journey?
For many years, yes. I definitely spent many years kind of saying, hey, I'm okay, I'm fine, when I was anything but. And, you know, at the time, not really understanding where that mentality had come from. As I started to heal and as I started to get better and I started to create peace of mind in my life, and, you know, through that, having the ability to then analyze and learn from some of the experiences I'd had in my past, you know, I started to realize that that was something that had been going on quite a bit, that I would often hide away my pain and my challenges and the thoughts or emotions that kind of came along with that. And in doing so, it would often make the challenge that much worse and that much more difficult to overcome. So, you know, perhaps that was part of the journey I needed to experience to get to where I am. But I do feel that there's so much value in being able to share something like that with other guys who are maybe in a similar place, who are, you know, not wanting to share their story or share their experiences. And they find themselves kind of battling it silently alone, because I find often with men, as you're mentioning, kind of the taboo aspect seems to be with this idea of what it means to be a man, what it means to be, have, you know, be masculine, to be, it often comes with this ideal growing up of you need to be tough, you need to be stoic, you need to be kind of like the brave leader of sorts in a lot of situations. And often men who are the opposite may be viewed by some as weak or, you know, anything of that nature are often the type of guys to get made fun of or bullied or ridiculed. So, yeah, I definitely started to notice how, you know, the ways that men are with each other kind of really bled into many different ways, aspects of like my mental health journey throughout the, you know, various parts of many different years.
Good points. And for someone who's perhaps struggling to open up, or kind of as a guy, maybe a guy out there who's struggling to be like more open up, and sometimes it seems really daunting. Is there like a little first step that you would suggest to them if someone's really struggling, but they feel like they need to open up, but it's just a bit of a daunting and scary thing?
That's a really good question. And I think it's definitely something that needs to be addressed, having like an action plan for situations like that, because I know that's definitely where I found myself and, you know, definitely was afraid for many years to share because of kind of the expectations that I felt were in my life and in my role as a father or as a man. So I think that, you know, when it comes to something like that, where someone is feeling maybe a struggle to share, and perhaps they would like to, the best thing that comes to mind is reaching out to someone that they do have that kind of comfortability with, if there is someone in their life of that, you know, that nature, because ultimately, you know, I believe that it all starts with conversation and with speaking and sharing what's going on. And so, you know, perhaps there's going to need to be that moment of, you know, maybe I don't know if you would call it bravery or boldness, but kind of breaking that comfort zone of reaching out for support, reaching out for love. And, you know, I would think that perhaps the people that you trust and you hold in high esteem, and someone that you maybe have had that support from in other ways throughout your life, perhaps that's a good place to start. If not, you know, I have always found that for me, there was as well a lot of value in reaching out to different mental health supports in your community. I know at different times I'd visited my local hospital. I had spoken with doctors. You know, I'd reached out to phone lines that were like for if you're in a crisis. There's a lot of different resources out there that can be quite helpful if you were to reach out and start that communication. And so I think ultimately, you know, that's the comfort zone that seems to be the one they're challenging in this moment. So, you know, finding a way, I guess, over time to work towards breaking through that comfort zone. And if you recognize that in itself is a comfort zone, perhaps, or that is a challenge to break, you know, perhaps reaching out for support in various ways. You know, it's definitely something that I think would be individual to each person, but that's kind of the best thing that comes to mind in this moment.
Yeah, it's all about you're going to be breaking out of that comfort zone no matter what. But some great tips there in terms of actually looking at maybe these organizations and also thinking about someone who's been there for you before or you can really trust. Because I think there's certain, when I've been through challenges, for me certainly, there's, you sometimes can get people who are actually very well intentioned, but aren't necessarily the greatest people to talk to, even though they mean well, just because it's either a case of they just want to project their own stuff onto you at that moment, or perhaps they're not the most positive people, even though they're trying to be. So yeah, just thinking about that person who perhaps has been a good example in your life as well, as well as there's all these organizations out there. So yeah, that's great. Love that. So one thing I'm very keen to talk about on this podcast that I talk about a lot is focusing on where we want to go rather than where we perhaps don't want to go. Because I think when you're in a challenging situation where, like, with your mental health, and we all have our ups and downs, but no, it's more serious for some. It's a case of sometimes we're looking at what we don't want and these bad experiences and trying to run away from something. Did you find that was a factor that might have helped you focusing on what you like doing or where you wanted to go?
Absolutely. Yes, that's definitely a big part of what helps me to continue to improve, to continue to evolve and move forward with my mental health and, you know, various scenarios that come up throughout that learning process. For myself, I definitely put a lot of energy daily into creating positive intent within different thoughts and actions and various parts of my day. So in particular, I'm definitely someone who really loves kind of getting into the creative side of myself. And I often find that that's where a lot of my self-care originates, whether it's creating art, creating music, whether it's drawing, whether it's writing creatively. You know, there's a lot of different avenues that often takes. And alternatively to that, I also find that I'm really someone that loves to play hockey. I go for rollerblades on a regular basis. You know, there's a number of different self-care actions that are directly part of that, you know, that image of creating and looking towards who I would like to be and what kind of actions are going to help me get there or help me to empower personality traits or the kind of energy or emotions that I'd like to, you know, carry with me.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's always, you know, individual to the person who's looking to him or what they want to do. So like, you found your stuff as well, so that's awesome. In your journey as well, or kind of people you spoke to or perhaps worked with on this, have you put out certain amount of time to sit with your emotions daily? Because going back to guys, I know for me this has been a big challenge in my life of I'm like, right, achieve, go, and it's like no time to sit with my emotions. Is that something you were able to create in your daily routine, sitting with your emotions and seeing how you're feeling? And is that something you've seen that others do as well that helps them?
Yes, that's definitely something that, you know, I'm very similar to yourself. I'm very much a go, achieve, just wanting to, you know, burn the candle at both ends, as they say. I've never been one that sits still for very long. But I find that, well, in the past, that would often lead to a lot of burnout. You know, I'd go, I'd crash and burn. I'd pick myself back up. I'd go, I'd crash and burn. And that pattern was going over and over. And so to move past that, it was pretty imperative that I did intentionally put into my day something that would allow me to rest, something that would allow me to relax, something that, you know, would allow me to kind of take stock of where I was and just what I wanted to learn or take away from the experiences of that day. So for myself, that often comes through a lot of journaling, you know, writing about my goals for the day, writing about commitments that I seen through that day, and kind of sharing gratitude towards myself for doing so, writing different positive intentions of the type of thoughts or emotions or the type of energy I wanted to create and carry with me. You know, just if I had challenging moments, writing about them, asking myself questions to kind of understand what was going on. Why did I react this way? What's the way I would have preferred to react? Maybe what can I try next time to learn and to grow in that manner, you know? So I find journaling and writing really helps me to kind of get into that flow of taking stock of the day and just, you know, if there's any perceived negatives, it kind of gives that opportunity to create some learning or create some sort of forward movement from them, I find, and put a more of a positive intent on the experience as it helps you move forward the next day. And in that moment, you're almost, you know, that's kind of where I'm kind of sitting still and relaxing, got some peaceful music on in the background, you know, trying to create that kind of spa-like meditational energy kind of environment, if you will, you know what I mean? So that's something that usually is a part of each evening for myself as well as each morning.
Yeah. And yeah, meditation, journaling, some good points there to kind of connect with yourself and your emotions a lot more. And a couple of things, you know, those are just a couple of good habits that I can think of, like meditation and journaling. For someone then who, and you know, there's things like exercise and all sorts we can do which helps our mental health. For someone who's perhaps in a very dark place or a very challenging place right now, maybe they've had some life circumstances that have really impacted on their mental health, they're stressed, they're already down, maybe anxious, maybe a combination of all of them, and they're perhaps struggling to get into any kind of good habits, what would you advise that individual?
Well, generally, you know, I think the thing that comes to mind right now is a phrase or statement, I guess, that I know you're pretty familiar with is, you know, the five people that you surround yourself with is kind of, you're going to end up being, you know, another one in that group, very similar energy and similar kind of traits. So I find that that's been something that's really helped me a lot is being able to create a connection with people around me who are in a similar mindset, people who are looking to learn and grow as well. I find having people to bounce ideas off of, to share experiences with, to ask questions, you know, maybe gain their experiences, their perspectives on various things that either one of us has gone through. That's something that's really helped me in some really tough moments when things were feeling very dark, very challenging, and I didn't know where to turn to or how to move forward. And having someone who was, you know, in the modern day world where we're all kind of at fingertip communication via various social media, being able to reach out to a few key guys that I know are on a similar journey, whether individually or with the support group that I'm part of, you know, and that's something that's helped myself as well as other guys that I communicate with in this manner, because when they create that safe space for me in that open space, it really allows for it to be reciprocated on the other end of things. And so when they're having a tough day, when they're feeling kind of, it's been, you know, the darkness is kind of creeping in that moment and they're not sure where to go or which way to turn, they'll often reach out to myself or one of the other guys within the support network and, you know, get perspective, get advice, get love, get support, get whatever they kind of need in that moment. And so that's been something that's been very instrumental for myself and a lot of other guys that I know in the more recent months.
Yeah, that's circle and how that can sort of impact your habits and your habits as well. And when you mentioned also like social media and things like that, which can be a great tool for connecting with people, have you experienced any negative effects from social media on your mental health?
Yes, so it's definitely something that gratefully I've taken steps to address at this point in time, but I definitely would get caught up like most people do with, you know, endless scrolling, kind of just getting lost in time and just, you know, looking at all the videos and various things and realizing that. So that would take away from time spent with family and doing other things. And it was kind of a way to like numb myself to the world and stress and various things. So I found that, you know, when I started to recognize that those were the kind of actions I was taking, that I was blocking out things and just mindlessly losing myself in like an Instagram scroll, that I decided to intentionally put a time limit on when I would, on how often I would be on social media, you know, what parts of the day would I be using it? Would it be, as well, kind of choosing to be intentional with the use of social media rather than kind of the mindless generic way that was really creating the stress for me previously. So for, you know, in that regard, when I go on social media, you know, I'm not going to scroll and look through videos. I'm just going right to the action, which is perhaps I'm wanting to share something that I've created that day, you know, share a video with someone. Perhaps it's to go answer a few messages of some conversations that I want to kind of catch up on. Sometimes I'll even go to specific mental health wellness pages that I know have great material that kind of inspire me. So I'll go check on some of my favorites and see if there's anything, you know, there that's kind of relating to what's gone on in my day. And so I find that, you know, choosing to be intentional with how you use the social media and kind of, you know, taking away some of the mindless aspects of it is really, from my perspective, kind of the best way to switch the flip from negative to kind of the positive side of what it can bring to your life.
Intentional being a key word there. Really good point. And just, yeah, making sure you've got it doesn't have to be negative all the time. Social media can be great, but it's having an intention of what you're going to do rather than just this mindless kind of program of just scrolling through every day that we're just following.
I got 4 kids, so it's a busy house here.
I
don't got the time to be doing that, you know. I got a lot of different things going on, so it definitely, and especially being someone who could be easily distracted or lose my focus, you know, it's a ticking time bomb. So I've learned better over the years, thankfully.
Good stuff. So, Phil, thank you so much for everything you've shared today. Really, really appreciated you coming on. So before we sort of go, I wanted to, first of all, ask you if you had any final points you wanted to share that perhaps we've not covered. And then secondly, where people can find you. And I believe you've got a support group as well.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, when I kind of try to put it together into a few key things that I would love to share with any men, I mean, or women for that matter, that are listening, is that there's so much power in being vulnerable, being open, honest, authentic, and raw with your thoughts and emotions. And that's something that has probably been one of my most important, you know, tools of healing on this mental health journey. Second one would be creating as much support in your life via other loving souls or individuals, you know, because that's been something that's as well been just as instrumental in my path for, you know, creating peace of mind and healing. And I think the final thing that really always stands out to me is being of service in any way you can. And a way I often will reword that is sharing love in any way you know how, whether that's drawing art and sharing it with your friends, whether that's creating a song that, you know, comes from that place of good thinking and you're sharing that with the world, whether you're, you know, being an open ear in a conversation, giving someone a hug, you know, who knows, it comes in so many different flavors. But those are, I think, 3 of the really big things that stand out to me that I really love to hammer down on as often as I can, because I feel like there's so much, you know, so much collective change and growth that kind of comes from that. And as well, as far as where people can find me, you can find me over on Instagram. I got a page, it's called Men's Mental Health Matters 2022. You can as well find me in various places, sharing my creative energy and sharing my positive thinking art. I have a band called Feed Your Head, as well as an instrumental page called Philly Phoenix. All kind of different things with, you know, a lot of lyrics and type of music that's meant to be uplifting and share ideas of positive thinking and sharing love. So I always love to share that around. And as far as the support group goes, yes, I run a text group on WhatsApp. It's a men's mental health support group. At the moment, there are 18 of us in there from, I believe, 7 different countries. So we got guys from all over the world, and basically everyone there, it's a kind of a safe, open space where people can come to share inspiration. They can come to share vulnerably about their experiences and receive love, support, advice, perspective, and various, you know, things of that nature from the boys within the group. Or if you so choose, you know, there's some guys that even just sort of observe silently and just take in the good energy of the conversation. So it's definitely something that has been massively instrumental in my mental health over the last couple of months since we started, you know, being able to reach out to a support group of like-minded individuals who are on this journey of healing when you're having a tough day, or whether you want to, you're having a good day and you're going to just share some love. Yeah, it's been something that's been massively impactful. So, you know, I welcome all men who are wanting to be part of such an experience. If it's not for you, that is okay. But, you know, we're more than happy to have as many guys join, because we would love to continue growing as a thriving community. And I feel like there's a lot of potential there for us making substantial and impactful change moving forward for men's mental health by creating communities such as this.
Absolutely. Some great stuff there, Phil. So thank you for your final words. And yeah, we'll be sure to link up your Instagram page, and people can reach out to you about the support group as well. So I will leave that in the show notes from this episode. So once again, a big thank you, Phil, for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed our conversation, and I appreciate that you invited me on today.
Of course. So that concludes our episode today. And remember, work on your self-confidence every single day.